Dear friends, I don't at all mean to start off your Christmas on a troubling note, as though a 70-degree day on December the 24th in New England was not troubling enough, but I am your pastor, whether you know it or not, and as your pastor, it is my solemn responsibility to speak the truth to you always, whether the truth is delightful or disturbing. And therefore, I feel heavily the burden of reminding you that when we gather together again, exactly 1 year from tonight, December the 24th, 2016, we will already know who our next president will be. I don't know about you, but if I think about that too much, I am ready to go out on the bridge railing with George Bailey. I suppose somehow it will all come out all right, but just the prospect of living through another 10 months of what we've already seen and heard, of the best we seem to be able to come up with among ourselves as candidates, well, it fills me with something like dread. We are looking for a leader. It is something we do on a regular cycle in our way of organizing our civic life. But after the year of trouble and turmoil that we've had with a world that seems to be coming unglued and a planet that seems to be warm and wobbly in its orbit, the scale of challenges ahead does not seem to be matched by the quality of leadership on offer. Our choices seem to range from self-conscious posturing to entitled presumption to self-absorbed narcissism. And we, at least if we are paying attention, are a little discomfited at what lies ahead. So, you might well be wondering, what does any of this have to do with the baby in the feeding trough and the poor family huddling outside in the barn because there was no room for them in the inn? When I see all of you from this perch on Christmas Eve, I always know that about half of you are people I might see on any given Sunday in this little jewel box of a church the other 11 months of the year, and the other half of you are those of you who come from far and wide to find yourself here on this night of nights, expecting that we will be here to see you. And in fact, we have been very busy getting the place ready to welcome you. This little space of 8 minutes is each year the moment when those two conversations of those two groups come together just for one little bit. And what I know about all of us is that whether we know it or not, when we come into this place for this hour and this celebration, we are looking for a leader. That is the version of this story for grown-ups, after all. We all know the version of the story that we are given as children and that we give to our children when they come along. It is the story about Mary and Joseph and the unkind innkeeper and the barn and the donkeys and the cattle are lowing and the shepherds out on the hill who are the first to get the news. But you know, even in the children's version of the story, there are people looking for a leader. Heck, three of them are kings. It is the grown-up version of this story that may be the one we need to give some deep reflection to this year, because we cannot understand what is distinctive, what is crucially important about the Christian understanding of God without understanding the grown-up version of this night. And my dear friends, we are heading into a time in our history when it is becoming increasingly important for us to understand these things and increasingly difficult for us to know how to articulate them. Because we know we live in a culture colored by many different and incompatible views on matters of religion and ultimate truth. And it has never been more important to find the words to state those claims of ours in ways that make clear our beliefs and leave room for others to state their claims as well. And despite all of that, my dear friends, do not forget that on this very night, this Christmas Eve, there are people in the world who, because they will not refuse to call themselves Christians, will lose their lives. So, it is well to remind ourselves what they and we claim to be true. We claim that the tiny, vulnerable baby lying in the food trough is the leader we are looking for, and what is more, that the world desperately needs. We claim that God acted through the birth of that child, the teaching and the ministry of the man he became, the death that he endured, and the life to which he was restored. And through all of that, God acted for a very specific purpose, to break once and for all the endless evil cycle of violence through which we fallen humans have foolishly sought safety and justice, and which we have wrongly excused by ascribing it to God. When you hear those old words that Tom Wood read for us about the yoke of our burden and the bar across our shoulders, that is what the Bible is talking about. It is the burden of our love affair with violence, whether it is in our statecraft or our political discourse or our entertainment or our Sunday afternoon sports. It is the back-breaking bar of fear that keeps us stooped down and will not let us stand up to become the higher selves that God meant for each one of you to be. This old story tonight may seem creaky and threadbare. It may be hard to get back into the spirit of Christmas when it is 70 degrees out on Christmas Eve and things are so bad at the mall that Macy's puts up a giant sign that just says, "Believe," as though the purpose of the gift of faith was for us to help out Macy's. Friends, I know it may be hard, but all this actually happened. That baby really was born, and if there seems to be more to this story than science will permit, God knows that the only way we have ever been able to improve our lives in the first place was to imagine the possibility of something true beyond what we could prove. Well, this is the truth that we claim. The baby, the vulnerable, frightened child, was God's once and for all solution to the problem of the leader we need. Because God knows that we, no matter how young or old, no matter how rich or poor, no matter how obscure or how accomplished, whether you will admit it or not, you, me, every one of us is vulnerable and frightened too. And this is the truth we claim. When people started listening to the man that child became, when they started believing his message that love is more important than power and that justice cannot be found without mercy and forgiveness, it shook the very foundations of the world order that we had made. And it frightened the holders of power so much that they could not risk letting him live. And this is the truth we claim. God's purpose was not thwarted when they tried to kill him. It was fulfilled. because when it was all over, and when Christmas finally became Easter, it showed finally and forever that violence cannot win in the end. The leader who taught these things, who gave us the path out of this veil of tears, is the leader we are looking for. And that is the child that has been born to us. Authority, real authority, rests on his shoulders. His authority shall grow continually because you and me and everyone else drawn in by this story will someday find the courage and the compassion to follow him as the leaders you were meant to be, living by the law of love. Again, this night, we have gathered in this place to remind ourselves of this story. And in the days between now and the next time, we all gather back here again and hear it one more time. We must hold on to these truths that we claim. Because of this story, and only because of this story, we still see the holy possibility of justice with righteousness. And someday, because of a God who came to us in vulnerability, peace forevermore. Merry Christmas. Amen.